Today, no hope and massive debt is not a good recipe for the future. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. BlackRock co-founder and CEO Larry Fink, in his annual letter to shareholders, has rattled some important cages, even if you can see self-interest shining through. He highlights a couple of not necessarily unrelated issues. First, he's frightened by the US public debt situation. And second, he warns of a looming retirement crisis, which is facing the US, and calls on baby boomers to help younger generations save enough for their own futures. Young people have lost trust in older generations, Fink wrote. The burden is on us to get it back. And maybe investing for their long-term goals, including retirement, isn't such a bad place to begin. Compared with 20 years ago, the current cohort of young Americans is 50% more likely to question whether life has a purpose, while 40% agreed with the statement that it is hard to have hope for the world, according to a recent survey cited in the letter. The lack of hope worries me as a CEO. It worries me as a grandfather. But most of all, it worries me as an American, he said. If future generations don't feel hopeful about this country and their future in it, then the US doesn't only lose the force that makes people want to invest, America will lose what makes it America. Without hope, we risk becoming just another place where people look at the incentive structure before them and decide that the safe choice is the only choice. We risk becoming a country where people keep their money under the mattress and their dreams bottled up in their bedroom. Well, certainly younger people in many countries are feeling left out of the economic and the political system, as policy has made life more expensive relative to income, and basic access to housing and other services are now at risk. In fact, support for major political parties has fragmented, especially among younger groups, and the divide between the more affluent boomers and younger households is becoming seismic. And I'd also say the divide between politicians and reality seem as wide as that to me. But frankly, his solution does appear self-serving because he directs his comments specifically at the retirement and pension system. Fink says the US should look to Australia's pension system for solutions after he warned of a looming retirement crisis facing the world's number one economy. Fink said the compulsory nature of Australia's system, in which employers contribute to workers' retirement accounts, had made the country's people wealthier since its 1992 introduction and prevented a potential crisis. 32 years later, Australians likely have more retirement savings per capita than any other country, Fink wrote. The nation has the world's 54th largest population, but the fourth largest retirement system. Australia's pension system is the fourth largest in the world, with its rapid growth being fueled by that compulsory contribution of 11% of workers' wages, rising to 12% in 2025. In fact, a report from Mercer predicts industry assets topping 13.6 trillion Aussie dollars by 2048, with a dozen mega funds controlling more than $100 billion each by 2028. Still, Australia's pension funds face their own challenges as a wave of retirement approaches in the coming years. Funds have been warned by their regulator that they must do more to help workers transition to retirement while being confident that they can draw down their balances without running out of money. Looking carefully at the super system in Australia, I would argue that it's made the country less fair, while all the time allowing money managers to clip an ever-increasing ticket. And Fink, meanwhile, says that even those in the US with enough retirement savings don't necessarily know how to spend it. A 2018 BlackRock survey showed that the average American retiree still had 80% of their pre-retirement money saved 2 decades into retirement. Savers first must build up a nest egg, then spend down at a rate that will last them the rest of their lives, he wrote. But who really knows how long that will be? Significantly, Fink also makes an impassioned plea for the world to tackle its mounting debt problem, which he says is at historical and potentially unsustainable levels, particularly in the US. The US public debt situation is more urgent than I ever remember. And the 3 percentage points in extra interest payments the US government must now pay on 10-year treasuries compared with 3 years ago is, quote, very dangerous, he said. Historically, America has paid for old debt by issuing new debt in the form of treasury securities. It's a workable strategy so long as people want to buy those securities. But going forward, the US cannot take for granted that investors will want to buy them in such volume or at a premium they currently do. The solution? Growth, Fink says. He says that if the US can grow GDP at 3% for the next 5 years, it will keep America's debt to GDP ratio at 120%, which he describes as high but reasonable. We can't see debt as a problem that can only be solved only through taxing and spending cuts anymore. Instead, America's debt efforts need to center around pro-growth strategies, which include tapping the capital markets to build one of the best catalysts for growth, which he says is infrastructure. And again, Fink is talking his own book, given that BlackRock acquired infrastructure fund manager GIP in a $12.5 billion US dollar deal earlier this year. Indebted governments will have no choice but to partner with the private sector to pay for this infrastructure, he said, and GIP, of course, will be there to clip the ticket. So there are some important thematics here. Firstly, trust in the system amongst youngsters is fading fast and politicians don't get it. Secondly, I question whether perpetual growth is even feasible or possible, because, of course, we only have one planet, and at the moment we're exploiting that significantly more than one planet's worth of output. So the question really becomes, is there a different set of economic models and assumptions that we have to think about to change the game? Well, I think there probably are. But it won't be popular amongst those in the financial sector, because I don't think bigger financial systems and settings are actually the right answer. Neither do I think ever more government debt works. Neither do I think perpetual growth works. Now, these are big, mega big questions, but ones which do need to be thought through. And I can understand, therefore, why politicians hunker down and just tackle the very short-term issues to get them to the next election and beyond. But the truth is this, there are bigger questions, important questions, intergenerational questions, which should be being discussed. And for that, at least Fink does start the ball in play, even if the spin he gives it is supporting his own outcomes. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.